This is session 10 of the Identify Your Ideal Career Path coaching group. Today is May 7th, 2009, and so far we have Michael, Stacy, Angie, and Kelly on the call. And today's call is finishing the enjoyment portion of the career model, that circle in the career model called enjoyment, and starting on the talents portion of the career model. Okay, so this is about what would you enjoy doing the most at an ideal job and what talents you want to use in an ideal career, okay? All right, so I want to say something real quick just to kind of check in with you guys. We are halfway through, about halfway through the group, and I know from experience, from my own experience being on group coaching calls and doing these before, that around halfway, closer to the end of it, it's easy to lose sight of your commitment and keep up with the homework and stay on top of things, you know, and I think it can be especially easy to do that when, like, for, I'll use LaToya as an example. Yeah, that's fair because she's not here, right? Like, LaToya is moving into a better position for her. And it's easy when that happens to people when, you know, like Stacy, for you, you're getting auditions and LaToya is changing into something better. It's really easy to kind of get complacent about this and say, oh, well, okay, life's better. So now, you know, so it's cool. I have an individual client right now who transitioned into a better job for him. It's still not his ideal. It's kind of a stepping stone towards it. But he's starting to, like, lose his momentum. And so what I want to encourage you guys to do is go back to your commitment that you set out at the beginning of the group. And if you have those notes in front of you, I'd like you to get them out right now. Go back to your commitment. If you still have it on your fridge or your bathroom mirror, or if you don't, put it back up there. Because it's really easy to get complacent here, and I think also to start to get kind of quiet and coast a little bit. And I want you guys to get as much as you possibly can out of the last half of this group, okay? So somebody just beeped in that it's kind of noisy.
Sorry, that's me, Alexandra.
Oh, hello there. Are you at work?
Yeah.
Can you
Star six.
Yeah, and then, thank you. And then, Alexandra, if you can go into a different room, you just star six to get back on, okay? So thanks for doing that, though. So I want you guys to get recommitted to what you're focused on here. And part of why I say this is because this happened to me. I was in my transition interim job, you know, where I was working part-time to start my coaching practice, and I was doing coaching on the side. And I was in that job for about 2 years. And I had told my friends and family, I said, you know, I'm going to do this other job for a couple of years, maybe less than that, and then I'm going to jump into my coaching practice. And I just got kind of like comfy cozy. And it took one of my friends calling me out on it and saying, hey, Hallie, you said you were going to quit your job, you know, because it's, you know, I got kind of attached to that, ooh, that nice steady paycheck, and then I was making money with my coaching too, and I was making really good money, right? And it took someone kind of calling me out and saying, hey, remember, you need to keep moving forward. And that's what I want you to inspire you guys and encourage you to do for the last half of this group is really make a commitment to stay focused and going for what you truly want, even if it doesn't happen tomorrow, to keep on the path. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Okay. So that was my version of a pep talk. I think it was, you know, maybe 75% as good as I would want it to be. But that's the bottom line that I wanted to tell you guys at the beginning. Like, stay committed to this. Because I find, too, in the coaching groups that I've participated in, that people start to kind of lose focus, and they start to get really quiet on the calls. They don't talk as much, and they're probably multitasking and doing other things, too. And I really want to encourage you to not do that and stay present, you know, and get as much out of this as you can. So I wanted to do a quick spin around the room and check in with everybody, about how clear they are on their list of careers to consider, like making sure that you're on track with taking things off the list and getting more clear about your ideas. So if you can just give me a quick, like, I've got some good ideas and I'm still thinking about it, or I'm still really stuck, I need additional help. I want to just do a quick kind of read here on how everybody is. So, Alexandra's on mute. Kelly, how about you? Because you just emailed me especially about this.
Well, one of the careers that I have to consider again is the one I have now.
Yep.
I just found out, and it's been going on for a while, but I just found out that the psychiatrist that I'm working for may be not paying me everything that he owes me. And that would be the case for other therapists there, too. So we have a feeling that he's kind of skimming off the top. And it's a big amount. Like, one therapist that I work with counted up how many sessions I've been paid on, and it was 210.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anywhere between $10,000 and $20,000.
Yeah, which is a lot. Hello?
Yeah.
It's a big difference. So for you, Kelly, you're putting what you're currently doing back on your list, right?
Right.
And also, are you still keeping the interior design as an option?
Yeah.
Okay. And then, so with the career that you're currently in, though, it would be finding another place to work, obviously, where this doesn't happen.
Right.
Okay. So one of the things that I would want you to do is get a better grip on how much you can make in this profession if you weren't working for this guy.
Okay.
So that would be one of your homework assignments, is to do a little bit of that research and find out, okay, how much can people get paid? Because that's going to give you an important piece to this, okay?
Okay.
All right, cool. All right, Angie, how about you?
I actually looked at that list again last night and felt like I had a different level of insight. So there were some things that I felt like I could take off, but then I still have half of my list.
Okay, so you did remove some, and you've got about half of what you did before.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so get in touch with me if in the next couple of sessions you're still struggling with what's left on the list.
Okay.
And we'll winnow it down some more, okay? Stacy, how about you?
Well, I have a list, which was the first step for me because that was a big problem with even creating the list.
Yay!
So that's a baby step, one in the right direction. But I feel like what I haven't done is investigate any of those areas, because right now it just sort of seems like a make-believe list to me.
Yeah.
It's just I made a list because I'm supposed to make a list.
Yeah.
But I haven't done anything about the list except write the words down.
Right. So what will you commit to doing in the next week, Stacy? So let's make it something realistic but also a bit of a challenge.
Well,
you're like, oh, wait, I just made my list.
Yeah, I mean, I made the list, but, I mean, that's kind of not that helpful to just make the list and let that be it.
Nope, you've got to take steps.
I mean, I did
two.
Do some research to kind of look at just for research purposes, looking at some job-wanted lists just to know kind of what information that they're looking for, job criteria, things that they're looking for.
Okay.
But that didn't really progress me anywhere further.
So here's what I'm going to suggest, and you can tweak it as you need to, is pick one of them for the week and say, I'm going to investigate this one, and choose like three different strategies that you're going to do that with, whether it's looking online, whether it's talking to somebody that you know in that industry, doing an informational interview with somebody. But let's start with one. And do some more research on it and do at least, let's say, three things. And they don't have to be huge, so that you're making it more real and can start, ooh, yeah, no, that's not going to work, or, ooh, that sounds good, I'll leave it on my list. So good that you made your list, and I love how direct you are about it. It's kind of make-believe. So
yeah.
Step two is to really start thinking about these things. And this is where, I mean, Stacy, if you don't mind, this is what I'm talking about. I mean, I know that you guys are busy. We have lives and other stuff going on. And so it's so easy for us to, you know, fall behind and not do the things that we want to do. I totally get it. And that's part of why you're in this group, is to help, like, keep pushing you forward, okay? Yeah. So I'm glad that you did the list. And then let's just break it down into other steps and look at one a week, for example. We'll see how it goes.
Okay,
Michael, how about you?
Well, I'm coming up with a list of things. Right now, since I've been done with school, I put the entertainment venue just on hold so I can clear my mind away from it for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Things started settling down to see whether or not I really want to do it. And during that time, being either a small business consultant or even a credit union consultant has started creeping in as an interest, because to get the entertainment venue, I need to start getting some money.
Yeah.
So, you know, being a consultant, I might can make more than I'm making now.
Right.
So it also gets me in the entrepreneurial frame of mind to developing, you know, HR strategy, business strategies, and, you know, just financial plans and things of that nature.
Okay.
So I'm trying, but my next action step is talking to folks.
Great, to find out more. Perfect. Good, Michael. All right, so, Paul, are you with us? I heard a beep, so I thought maybe he came on. Alexandra, are you still on mute? Okay. So, Alexandra, if you can...
I am unmuted.
Yes, thank you. Good. Careers to consider. How are you doing?
Well, I think I've narrowed it down a lot to themes, I guess, like possibly into the health area. And that's all I got right now. But, like, global health and hygiene and... you know, clean water and things like that.
Okay, cool. That's good, because that's narrower than you were before, and we know that you want to do this abroad at least for a portion of the time, and you've got your purpose and that kind of thing too. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool. The noise isn't that bad right now in the background, so if you want to stay put, you know, for the moment, that's cool, and not mute yourself. So just so you guys know, I think everybody is okay in terms of where they are with narrowing things down. In the next couple of sessions, though, if you have not narrowed down your list some more and, you know, have a clearer picture, then definitely reach out to me, because I don't want you to end this with, well, I still have 5 things on my list. Like, you guys are still okay with where we are in the process, because we're still working on narrowing it down. And if you don't get, you know, if you don't start crossing things off your list in the next couple of weeks, reach out to me so we can work on it, okay? All right, so let's go to successes and challenges. So any successes that people want to share? Small, large, anything in between?
I have one success. I had an interview for a job in the health and wellness area.
Yay!
And, it definitely brought up a range of feelings from, you know, how committed am I doing to this field. It was more entry level, so I had to weigh, am I willing to do that for this particular path? And I ran into the hiring manager who said that it's still actually open and they're planning to follow up with me. So I'm not really sure where it stands, so I feel like I'm still in this place where it's under consideration. But it definitely made me look at all of these lists and careers and the different aspects in a very realistic way.
Good. So that was a positive thing from it. And
yeah,
you got some exposure, however brief, you know, in an interview to learn more about what this would be like.
Definitely.
Are you going to take it if they offer it?
I think I'm still sitting with it. But the place where I think I'm still wrestling a little bit is, if I had the level of health and wellness for myself personally, would I really want to do it as a career?
Yeah, so it's really the question of personal versus professional.
Exactly. So I'm working on the personal until I hear from them.
Okay. Let me know if you need more support.
Okay.
You know, especially if it gets crunch time and they've offered it and you still don't know.
Okay.
what, you know, what to say. And so, and maybe, like, I mean, maybe part of the question here, Angie, is, sure, you'll do it in your personal life, but maybe the way that they were doing it, I mean, part of what, like, the focus of that job, mm-hmm. and the kind of angle on health and wellness that they were taking, maybe that's the wrong way, and you need to be more research-oriented or less, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So that might be part of what's wrong, is not that it's health and wellness completely, but this is the wrong, like, way to pursue it.
Okay.
Okay. Congratulations. That's awesome. Anybody else? Any successes? And let's go ahead and move to challenges, too. Any successes or challenges that people are having?
Well, I have one success that I finally, well, I haven't got my final grades, but I'm graduating next Wednesday.
Woo!
MBA.
Awesome. Are you going to, is there a ceremony and everything?
Yeah, there's one, and I won't be on the call next Thursday because I'll be on vacation for the first time in 2 years.
Oh, okay. I think that's allowed.
So next Wednesday there is a graduation ceremony up at Kennesaw.
Nice. Congratulations, Michael. That is a huge accomplishment.
Only if you knew.
I know, I don't. I did not get my MBA, but I have heard stories.
Only if you knew the people I had to deal with. The whole problem.
Well, that makes it...
It wasn't that bad. It's dealing with people that thought they were professionals that weren't.
Yes, they were pretending to be. Okay, so you have a lot to pat yourself on the back for, not just the actual diploma, but the experiences and things that you learned along the way, I'm sure.
Yes.
And that's going to do you well in your career. I mean, that's dealing with different types of people and even difficult people. I mean, that's going to be great for you as a consultant and entrepreneur. You're going to have to do that a lot.
Well, that comes up with the next challenge.
Oh, okay, go.
I have not enough management experience I have no management experience on my resume or anything like that. But now I have an executive MBA, so it's I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place of being too qualified for some of the positions I'm pursuing, yet pretty much the only way I can make use of my degree is going out on my own or, you know, joining up with a consultant firm where it's, you know, you're practically entrepreneurs, and there is no, I guess, departmental levels or anything like that, because one thing that I'm finding is that I feel like the jobs I'm looking for are looking for management work experience, but all I have on my resume is now an executive degree.
Okay, so what's your question? How do you get those jobs, or?
How do I, like, I guess my question would be, how do I get the interviews for, you know, what should I put more focus on my experiences through my MBA program or real-life world experience?
Okay. Let's throw it out to the group. What would you guys say?
I just don't know why you can't use a combination of them both.
Mm-hmm. I think that's good.
Sometimes when you don't really have a skill at something in management, you always try to put things in a positive light. Like, I'm sure there's maybe you had a group project, maybe you're the leader of a group project. I mean, just really for skimming for whatever you can and turning it into a positive.
Yep.
Maybe you took on some extra work, you know, a particular experience or story you could share, rather than stating, you know, in an interview, I don't have management experience, saying, well, here's some situations where I had management experience, mm-hmm. rather than maybe you didn't have that position, but experiences? I don't know. That's all I can think of.
No, that's good, Stacey. That's perfect.
Like, I could bring those up in the interview, but bring it, like, I'm trying to figure out how to bring them up with, like, in the cover letters and, like, resumes to get to those interviews.
Okay, so do the same type of thing. So combine both, like Stacey said, because that's exactly right. It shows that, you know, any real-life experience that you have had, you need to sit down and think about it, because I'm guessing that you probably have had more than you realize, and you might just be discounting it, okay? So anytime at work that you have led a team or a project or, you know, that kind of thing, that you need to call that out. And in your, you know, in your resume and cover letter, you say if it's you say what your qualifications are at the top. And instead of, let me just, I have to kind of visualize this to verbalize it. Instead of just listing all of your positions, you know, these are the positions I've had, you know, obviously list those, but at the top, the first bullet point, you mention the management experience that you did have, whatever it was, leading a team, you know, anything that you can come up with. And what I like people to do on their resume is have at the top, instead of an objective statement on their resume, more of a qualification statement, who you are and what qualifications you have. And that's where you can mention some of this.
All right.
And say and call out your relevant experience before you're even listing your positions. Michael, I'll send you a sample. I'll send it to everybody. Send sample resume that I think will help, okay?
All right.
But Stacy hit the nail on the head. Use both and just try to identify any transferable skills that you have that can be applicable, okay?
Gotcha.
All right. So I'll send that out. Okay, so before we go to, I want to move to enjoyment to make sure we get to that and the talents. Any other challenges, though, questions that need to be answered before we move on? Going once, twice, three times. Okay, so what we, your homework from last time was to think about and talk with your buddy about what you'd enjoy doing most in an ideal career, okay? And remember, we talked about this last time, about things that you could see yourself doing 8 hours a day. And, Angie, this kind of speaks to what you're saying. Like, do I really want to do health and wellness all day, every day? Or, no, I'd rather just do it, you know, in my personal life because that might take the fun out of it. And remember that I gave you guys my experience of, or horseback riding, not my experience, but my interest in horseback riding, but I don't want to do that as a job because it would take the fun out of it, okay? So let's hear from a couple people about what you came up with in terms of what you would enjoy doing and say the top two things. What did you guys come up with to place in this enjoyment section of the model? And remember, we're looking for things that you would enjoy, and doing it for work probably wouldn't take the fun out of it, right? And we want it to be specific enough that, yeah, this is something I could do that, you know, I could do at a job and probably make money at it, okay? So who's willing to jump in? Give us what you came up with.
I've got a couple of things that I came up with that was really weird.
Okay, go.
Quite sure how to connect them to my job.
Okay.
I like running, and I like shooting guns.
Oh, hilarious.
I don't know how to bring that in at all to the my whole purpose of life and my job.
Well, so Alexandra, the first thing that comes to my mind is this stuff that really belongs in the personal realm for you? Like, you don't want to be like a triathlete or a running coach or anything, right?
Right.
And the same goes with shooting guns?
Well, I'm thinking about taking some classes soon so I can get really good, you know, in self-defense and things like that.
Okay. So it's maybe an aspect of what you do to take care of yourself when you're working abroad, right?
Right.
But not necessarily something that you want to do all day, every day at work.
Maybe not.
Well,
I like it a lot.
You're hilarious. Well, so this is what you need to think about is like, is your focus really on this health and global hygiene area? And you know what? I really like shooting guns. But, like, if I had to go be a police officer, I mean, what I mean? So what I'm hearing for the shooting guns, at least, is, like, that's more fun for you and not that you'd want to do that all the time.
That's true. But then again, there are a lot of classes for women on, like, self-defense and how to defend yourself and recognizing situations. And that's pretty empowering to be able to teach and to be able to learn that too, you know?
Well, so maybe that's what it's about, as opposed to literally seeing it as the shooting guns. It goes down to the empowering people piece.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think that is what it's about. It's more that theme that's underneath. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So not like you're going to go be a camp counselor and, I mean, because I like doing that. I loved riflery when I went to camp.
Mm-hmm.
But looking at what's underneath it, I think that's what's key. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, definitely.
That it's more about the empowering people. So something that you would really enjoy it, doing through a job is empowering people. Showing, maybe show part of that is showing them how to take care of themselves and defend themselves, but the key theme is empowering them.
Yeah, definitely.
Does that help?
Yeah, it does.
I have a question. This is Stacy, but does it mean that maybe she could put on her career to consider list that maybe she does want to be an instructor for, like, self-defense classes?
What do you think?
In Africa?
Oh, but you want to make that abroad as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then that's maybe I can see where it needs. Yeah, okay, never mind. I'll be quiet again.
No, no.
No, I'm serious. Like, maybe, you know, like, women face a lot of issues in other countries. And,
totally.
You know, like, rape is pretty bad over in Africa and pretty much every country there. And empowering women to not get raped.
Yeah, to defend themselves.
Yeah, when I think about it abroad, you always think that people, the concentration's on educating those women. But I've never heard anyone say, I want to go abroad and teach women a self-defense, like, physical class. I mean, that's kind
right.
of
cool.
Yeah, that would be really cool, and it could be part of what you do, part of your repertoire.
Yeah. Okay, yay.
I like that. Thank you, Stacy. I
Thank
love
you,
it.
Stacy.
I love it when you guys jump in. That's perfect. Thank you. Because you never know. Like, even if what if your idea isn't exactly on the mark, you're giving somebody food for thought and brainstorming. It's awesome. All right, so Alexandra, would the same thing goes for running, or I don't know, what did we say about running? Is that
running
more
might be a personal thing, just like a personal fitness, but there is an emphasis on, you know, physical health and encouraging people to take time out for exercise, and
yep.
I really believe in that also, you know?
Yep. So that's perfect, too, because when you're thinking about this, going abroad, helping people with this, you want to be focusing on organizations, I'm assuming they exist, that are holistic like this,
mm-hmm.
that focus on health from a lot of different aspects. That's the deal. That's what you'd want to do. Instead of,
yeah.
it's just, you know, here's some medicine. No, physical health, self-defense.
Yeah, definitely.
So organizations that do the bigger picture and integrate all of this, that would be better for you.
Yeah.
Cool. See, it's not so weird after all. Okay, good. Thanks. So I want you guys to see what we did here, because this is what helps you kind of, you know, dig deeper into what you would enjoy, is even if it seems on the surface like, what? Like, how would that relate? Look at what is underneath. So the first question is, do I want to do this just personally versus professionally? And the second one is, what's underneath here? If it's not literally that I want to go be a police officer and shoot guns, no, this is about empowering people and making them feel like they can take care of themselves. Okay, so look at what's underneath, too. All right, so one other person. Who else is willing to jump in with this one? What did you come up with? Under the enjoyment piece. Is everybody else still really confused, or you're just being quiet?
Yeah, this is Kelly.
Go, Kelly.
I have a few things that to me don't make sense at all, so maybe you could help me or everyone else could help me with it. Part of what I like to do is, you know, helping people heal and giving them comfort in their lives. But then this other part of me, like, gets kind of restless sitting in a chair all day long listening to people over and over again. And I want to do something fun, like go create an amusement park or
do something totally different.
Okay. All right, any ideas from the group?
About art therapy.
Yes.
That would be a good idea, yeah. That's an interesting thing. I think the only thing about art therapy is that it's really, really hard to find a job.
Well,
sounds like a gremlin.
Okay, I'm going to get off the call, and Stacy's going to lead. That's a gremlin.
Okay.
And so, Stacy, you rock. Kelly, think out of the box with this. Like, maybe you don't do that full time, but that's part of what you incorporate in what you do.
Okay.
And there's also, like, this is what I was thinking, too, is, like, equine therapy. Like, how could you possibly integrate more physical getting out of the office stuff as part of your therapy with people? They do this all over the place.
Okay.
The equine therapy where you're working with the horses and it shows your personality and your gremlins and your issues.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Did that help? Good. See, I love it when it's so quick and easy, too. So everybody, for everybody, be mindful of when you're coming up with some ideas and a gremlin pops up, because they'll do that. They'll show up sometimes when it's least expected, okay? And they like to jump all over your dreams like a wet blanket.
I mean, it could be realistic also that there aren't as many art therapy jobs out there, but it does still sound like a gremlin, too, that maybe you have to invent it yourself or you have to put more effort into marketing it.
Yep.
You know, as what you want to do, you have to make so much more harder work into it, but maybe it's worth it in the end.
Yeah, because
it's hard to find a lot of jobs now, so it's not like it would make it any different, you know?
Yeah.
It's true. It's a little bit of both. That's exactly right. And the key, I think the bottom line is to not let the gremlin stand in the way of an idea, because you never know what that idea might lead to. And like Kelly, like if you had listened to that idea, you may not have thought, oh, well, wait, I could integrate it into what I'm currently doing.
Right.
So there's a blend here of managing the gremlins and being realistic at the same time, because you've got to do both. Good. Nice work. Okay. So that is the enjoyment piece. Before we move to talents, is anyone else struggling with, you know, oh, I've got these things I would enjoy, but they seem weird or I can't figure them out? Anyone else having trouble with this? I want to make sure we help you. Okay. All right. So if anyone needs additional support on this with the enjoyment section of the model, let me know. But remember, you know, I think the best key points to keep in mind here is, you know, what would you enjoy doing, getting paid to do it, you know, 8 hours a day versus personally, looking at what themes are underneath it. And that goes into, hold on. No, I'm not going to say that third thing because it starts to go into, well, yeah, I am going to say it because it'll lead us right into talents. So the third key thing to remember is my example that I think I gave you guys of one of my talents is marketing as well as coaching and empowering people and that kind of thing. And remember, though, that I had a marketing job before I was a coach and I hated it. So that marketing is something I enjoy, but again, I don't want to do it all day, every day. I want it to be a piece of what I do. So when you're thinking about what you would enjoy doing, part of what you want to do here is think about, like, prioritize that list and think about, you know what, I would love doing this all the time, and it would be nice to do this, like marketing or art therapy or whatever it is, but I only want that to be a portion of what I do. It's not going to be the main thing, okay? So that leads us into talents, and we're going to talk about your top 10 enjoyable talents, because enjoyable talents is different from just the talents that you have. And I say that because I've come across so many people who are like, well, I'm really good at this, Hallie, but I hate it. Like, and just because I'm good at writing, everybody at my office, they always hand me the stuff to write. You know, they always hand me projects that are writing, and I'm sick of it. They've ended up in a job that, uses one of their talents, but it's not one of the ones they enjoy using that much. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you guys? So they end up kind of getting pigeonholed, and that's why when we're talking about our talents, we not only want to look at what are you naturally good at, but also what of those talents do you really enjoy tapping into and using, okay? So one of the homework assignments from last time was doing pages 41 through 45 in the workbook, where you did a self-evaluation of your natural talents and abilities and asked other people what they see as your strengths and natural talents. So how did this go for you guys? Let's hear from a couple of people at least. Like, what did you say versus what other people said? Did anyone kind of get like, oh, I had never thought about that? Any kind of ahas or eye-opening insights?
This is Angie.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one for me where I asked, I think it was five different friends, and they didn't see any of their answers, and there was one thing that came through on all of them, which was counselor or counseling.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And is that something that you just hadn't thought about before?
No, I hadn't really thought about it. Other than, like, the health and wellness stuff, there is that counseling component. And the listening component.
Counseling and listening. Okay, cool. Now, is that something that you would enjoy doing? And I'm not saying it has to be all the time. Would you enjoy doing it at all?
I don't know. I don't think when I make my list of things that, you know, the talents or the things that I am most interested in, it's more analyze, planning, perceiving links between unrelated pieces of information, work quickly and accurately with details, and I tend to prefer limiting the amount of time I have with, like, other people. I'm more task-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I guess, you know, if it's counseling and health and wellness based on, like, test results and things like that, that might be more analytical.
Okay, so put that down. I think that's good. So counseling, doing that based on more concrete things like test results or research might be better for you. So combining a little bit of the two, not where you're doing the counseling all the time, but there's a little bit of it. Does that sound better?
It does.
Okay, cool. So then you can take that back to, you know, like this job that you're looking at. And would that take you on that path, you know, towards this? Okay, so interesting. So it's something to consider. So remember, thank you, Angie, for sharing. That's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So we're keep this in mind that you really have to think about, okay, so just because I'm good at it, does it mean that I'd want to do that? And if the answer is no, I mean, no, not all the time, but sure, I could do a little bit of it in this way. That's what's key, just like we did with Angie.
Mm-hmm.
Great, perfect. Anybody else? Talents that somebody pointed out that you're like, huh, I hadn't thought of that. All right. So let's go to your top 10 enjoyable talents, and let's talk about some examples of what you guys have on your list. And I'll be honest with you, I think top 10, I think that's a lot of talent. And so one of the things for homework is I'm going to have you guys break it down to top 5 because I think that's just more manageable for you to think about and put on the career model. So somebody give us an example of what you came up with in terms of your top 2 talents that would be most enjoyable for you. Kelly, Stacy, Alexandra, Michael, any of you guys come up with a couple?
I did the list of the 10. I just didn't narrow it down to a top 2.
Okay, well, so Stacy, what are your top 2 on that 10 list?
Oh.
The first 2.
Oh, I guess I didn't really think about it. I just kind of wrote them down. Just a general top 10, but I didn't put them in a really order of
priority. Yeah, you know what? I'm not sure it says to do that, so that's fine. So look at your list for me now. Mm-hmm. And out of those 10, if you had to pick the top two, what would you say?
Ooh, I don't know. Off the top of my head, since we're limited for time, I guess I would say connect with people and communicate through speech.
And communicate through what?
Through speech.
Okay. Well, and usually your gut instinct is right anyway. So connect with people and communicate through speech. Okay, so I want you guys to kind of pay attention to what we're doing here now, because this is part of what I want you to be thinking about for homework. So, Stacey, how do these – hold on, I'm thinking for a second. When you think about your – look at your list of careers to consider that you have. And when you have these top two talents that you would enjoy, do any of those not fit with these?
Yes and no. I mean, I guess they'd have to be changed a little bit, because a lot of these are marketing jobs, and some marketing jobs, I mean, marketing can be very vague depending on what company you go to work for. Sometimes it could be a very desk job. You know, and maybe I should look at places where, you know, there's some marketing jobs where you have to travel and kind of be like a spokesperson for a company, especially like maybe in a nonprofit world.
Yep. No, I think that's good. Yeah, I think you're on the right track. So what you need to do is, and I would say, okay, so this goes for everybody. Go through your list of top 10 enjoyable and prioritize them and come up with your top 5. Okay, your top 5 enjoyable talents in order of priority. And then look at your list, just like Stacey, you were saying, say, okay, so these could still be on here, but I need to narrow it down a little bit more or change it a little bit more. I need to be able to be communicating with people a lot more and connecting with them on a regular basis, like not sitting in the office at a desk, but out there, like doing more public relations or, you know, that kind of thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, Stacey, I don't know if you know the answer yet to this question. If you had to pick one of those, and that is what you did all day, for the most of the time, all day, every day, which would it be?
Well, what do you mean? Like, out of those, my careers to consider? Or my
enjoyable talents.
Oh, enjoyable talent. I guess I'd say out of those, to connect with people, is that what you're asking?
Yep. So that would be the one that, if you were able to do that all the time, that would be the coolest thing.
Yeah, but it definitely, it's so vague. I mean, I had a sales job where I was with, I don't know if I was connecting with people, but I was working with people, but I hated that job.
Okay, and so this is where you need to get more specific, and this goes for everybody too, by looking at your purpose statement.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at your values and the things on your must-have list. So connecting with who, for what reason, mm-hmm. and for what purpose.
Yeah, because I'd rather be doing something where either they came to me or I'm doing some sort of empowerment with them versus I'm trying to sell them some overpriced product that they don't want.
Exactly. There you go. So that's, you go down path A, not B. So, like, for me, being able to do what I do, connecting with people in a deeper, on a deeper level, talking to them about their career and helping them be more authentic, that's my top 10 enjoyable talent, and that's what I do all the time, right? So that's how you want to think about this and get as specific as you can with those questions that I just asked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, and part of why for all of you guys, I get that this is kind of hard because you're imagining something and you haven't necessarily done it before, so how can you really know? So I want you to, you know, do your best to imagine it, but also look at your personal life too. And where do you typically, like, when you connect with people, you know, what do you typically talk to them about? What do you, you know, it's more empowering stuff and inspiring them. Like, when I go to parties, I naturally, like, I talk to just a few people, and I talk to them about in-depth stuff about who they are as a person. And so that's part of how I had a gut sense of, yeah, I would like doing that because I do it already personally, just naturally. Okay. Thanks, Stacy, for playing. So anybody else? Who else has a list of their top 10 and can give us their top 2 from that list?
I can throw out 2.
Great.
Be enthusiastic and organize, and then one to grow on is inspire.
Be enthusiastic, inspire, and then what?
Organize.
And organize. Okay, cool. And when you think about your list of careers to consider, Michael, how do these fit or not with what you're considering?
Well, in all of them, you have to be enthusiastic because you have to either, if you're a man, if you're a president of a company, you have to show the people that you want to be there.
Yep.
If you're a consultant, you got to show the person who is paying for your services that you want to be there.
Yep.
And in an entertainment venue, you're dealing with entertainment, so you have to be enthusiastic in that way.
Yeah, and part of all of this is kind of pumping people up to achieve their goals and make things happen, right? Make change.
And then that's where the inspire comes.
Great.
You know, you know, head of a company, you got to inspire your employees to go in the direction that you're wanting to take the company. And then if you're a consultant, you got to inspire the other organization's executive management that your way will benefit them in the long run.
Yep. And how about the organize?
Well, that might put me in a pigeonhole because sometimes I'm too organized.
Mm.
Too organized, not enough action.
Okay, so that's something that you need to work on. And when you thought about, when you said organizing, though, I was thinking about organizing people, helping them develop a plan.
Yes.
And then they have to go do the action.
That would be fall right smack dab into the consulting role.
Yep, there you go. So you might be able to get away without as much action because, you know, you're inspiring and empowering them to do that.
Yes.
More than, you know, you're not necessarily doing it for them. Okay, good. So part of what, thanks, Michael, part of what I want you guys to do here is look at, okay, remember every time we do an exercise, you always want to go back to your careers to consider list and fine-tune it, change it, tweak it, take stuff off the list. Because each time we look at these pieces of the model, it should give you more insight into what would be the right fit for you. All right, so let me just look at something for a second here. I'm hesitant. There's another thing on homework, and I don't want to overload you guys. So let me throw it out there and see what you think. So first of all, before we do that, does anyone have any questions on how talents fit into the model and what we're talking about? Does this make sense?
Yes.
Thank you. So there's two things to say about talents before we move to the homework. One thing is, it's proven, it's a fact that if you are using your natural talents and abilities at a job, that job will be more fulfilling for you. People who do not utilize their talents and abilities at work tend to be unfulfilled. It just makes sense. And then I forgot the second one. It'll come back to me. What was the second one? Okay, the second one will come back to me in a minute. The second thing is, obviously, to be successful at whatever career path you're considering, you need to have some kind of skill at it, right? Or else you're not going to be successful. So that's the other reason why this is important, is because, say if somebody came to me and said, well, I want to be a professional basketball player, and they sucked at playing basketball, then we've got a problem. And we need to find something else for them to do, right? So part of why this is on the model as well is just the simple fact that to be successful at something, you need to have some natural talent. Now, this is part of the second piece of homework is, and I'll go over the homework and email it to you guys. So looking at your careers to consider, what gaps in your natural talents and abilities need to be filled? So if you're thinking about doing, say, marketing or counseling, you know, and so, Angie, I'll use you as an example. Say if you are thinking about, okay, I want to do more counseling, but there's an element of counseling that you're not good at. What gap needs to be filled, and what kind of experience do you need to get in order to fill that? Am I making sense, guys? It's kind of like on the left side is this is your current list of talents and abilities that you have now that will serve you in your ideal career. But then with anybody, when they're changing career paths, with all of us, there are going to be some gaps, some things that you don't yet know that you're going to need to go to school to learn about, or, you know, volunteer or get, you know, do freelancing or something on the side in order to get some experience to fill in those gaps. Okay, so here's the homework. Number one is finalize your top five enjoyable talents and add those to the career model and prioritize them, okay, like we talked about today. Second is review the careers to consider list and change it or tweak it or make it more specific as needed based on your talents. And third is identify the gaps that need to be filled in order to pursue your careers to consider. So, like for me, when I decided I wanted to be a coach and I wanted to have my own business, I did not want to coach like at an organization like IBM or something like that in-house. Well, number one, I didn't know what coaching was and how to be a coach, so I had to go to classes and become certified to do that. And two, I didn't know how to run a business. That was something else that I needed to learn as well. But I knew that I had the natural talent, the marketing, you know, savvy, the, you know, financial aspect of it. I knew that I had enough natural talent to do these things because I was already kind of coaching people in my personal life. And I was already like an entrepreneurial type of person in terms of marketing and product and new ideas, creating new things. So I had my list of things I already, you know, currently naturally had and my list of things that I needed to fill in. Does that make sense to you guys?
It does.
Okay, good. Thank you, Angie. I know you're writing and stuff, so you're trying to listen and respond. So next time, in our next session next week, we are going to finish the talents, make sure that you guys are clear on your top five talents and go over those. And then we're going to move to the experience section of the model, which is building on your past experience in order to define what the ideal career is. So because most people at least build on some of their past experience. And this is kind of like, Michael, you were talking about transferable skills. This is where we're going to say, okay, what past experience do I already have that I can use in an ideal career? So to our next session, make sure that you have your resume. Bring your resume with you to our next session. And careers to consider, so we can together look at what past experience you can draw upon. Okay. Any questions on any of that? All right, so let's go around the room real quick before we close. Where are we at? We've got a couple minutes. What's the biggest thing you guys are taking away from today? Kelly, what would you say?
That maybe I'm still kind of in the right area, but I need to think more creatively about different ways of doing therapy. Like, I like the idea of being more physical or adding art.
Yeah, cool. So be more creative with it. Hey, it makes it easier, doesn't it? And also, don't forget to research the salaries, too, so you know more clearly what the financial picture is. Good, Kelly, thanks. All right, Angie, how about you?
I think the list of enjoyable talents actually makes it a little easier because you kind of figure out what's already there and how do you develop that.
Yeah, good, perfect. Alexandra, how about you? Oh, did she mute?
It takes me a while to unmute it.
I know, it does, doesn't it? I'm always like, wait, I'm here, hold on.
Wait. I guess it's taking away from today is trying to combine all of the things that I like to do into the perfect job, and that maybe I can do that. Maybe I can incorporate everything into a common theme.
Yeah, see if you can. And if it's starting to be like you're throwing everything into the pot, prioritize them for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And try to make a decision about, you know, if it's becoming too overwhelming, make a decision about, you know what, this would be okay personally.
Yeah.
You know, if it does become like, okay, I'm trying to do too many different things. And you can also think about this, this goes for everybody too, that over time, like Alexandra, you might start out in one area and have several of those pieces, but as you evolve in your career, you could add some of the other ones or change it a little bit too.
So, yeah.
You know, you can think about your career path as a long-term thing where things can also change over time. Good. Stacey.
I think what I definitely need to do is start doing some of those informational interviews and start really digging into the careers to consider so we can move from my make-believe list to realistically, is this something that I'm interested in? And maybe it'll help me go in a different direction or just be able to define really what I'm doing here and what this whole, you know, experience is about for me.
Okay,
good. What I want to be doing career-wise.
Yeah, moving from make-believe to reality.
Yeah.
So
that's what I learned.
I know. Yay. So let me know if you need help. And I think that's a really good step. That's important. Because it is. It's different from, oh, it's all mulling around in your head to, oh, my gosh, it's on paper, and now I really have to figure this out. Okay,
yeah.
Michael. Oh, sorry. Michael, how about you?
Well, I know that I have to figure out a way to make over my resume and also those and now that I get a little bit of time on my hands, informational interviews to figure out how I can best get my foot in different doors.
Yeah. Okay, good. All right. So, remember I'm here if you guys need help this week. I will send you the homework as well as the sample resume and anything else that you need. And have a great week, okay? Good luck on your homework.
All right.
Okay, I'll talk to you soon.
All right,
bye. Bye-bye. Bye.